Hey, Dee, did you see that email from Angela way down under in Australia? I love what she wrote. She thinks she's lazier than you and I are, and I can't tell for sure. She might be right. But what I really like what she wrote was, your podcast always leaves me smiling and laughing, learning and encouraged. The Garden Angelist is my favorite podcast, and I wanted to thank you all for the effort and commitment you put into it. I love that it is simple and a chat over the garden gate between friends that you share with us.
Yes, I saw that. I really loved it. I need to write her back. Her whole email was so nice, and I need to tell her that at her suggestion, we figured out how to let listeners actually support the podcast because she asked.
Yes, and because she asked, we did figure out. So now we have it set up. There's a button you can push to do a one-time donation. Totally no obligation. Or if you want, there's also going to be a place where you can subscribe. And for like $3 a month, you can just chip into the kitty, so to speak. No obligation, but at least it's all set up. And we'll put information in the show notes and in the newsletter about how to do that.
And that just helps us divert costs for the podcast. Neither one of us are making any money off of this at all. We just do it because we enjoy it. But it is expensive to host a podcast, so we appreciate it when people ask if they can help support us. So because of you and because you worked so hard, we got it figured out.
Thank you, Dee. And now, welcome to the Garden Angelist, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana, where I have a suburban garden measured in square feet. It's about a third of an acre.
And I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma, where I garden on several acres out in the country. Too many.
We call ourselves Garden Angelists because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening and we want others to love it too.
Yes, we do. And we aren't afraid to spill the beans and tell all of our gardening secrets, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. But that's enough of who, what, when, where. Let's move on to this week's episode. Good afternoon, Carol. We're doing this on Monday afternoon.
Monday afternoon. Good afternoon, Dee. I will tell you about my garden now. Exciting stuff. I finished my Lego bird of paradise. I took a picture of it up against my real bird of paradise. I thought it looked pretty good.
It did look good. I saw it. It was pretty cool.
So I harvested some microgreens, had some with my salad at lunch today. I did a general tidy up of the house plants. I also got some currant tomato seeds, which are the teeny tinies. And the best thing I could find was there's a lady on Etsy called the Crazy Tomato Lady.
I've never heard of her.
I think she's over in Ohio. And I thought, well, you know, they were like $2.99 free shipping. I'm like, oh, I'll spend $3. So, and then I made two spreadsheets, Dee. I have all my flower and veggie seeds on one spreadsheet and all my viola seeds on another spreadsheet. So now I have to stare at them. I need to stare at them now and just try to remember if there's anything missing.
Wow. Good for you. That is not what I did this week.
That is not what you did this week. Do you want to know how many packets of viola seeds I have?
No. I mean, yes.
I'm not telling then. Okay, you stop listening. I'm going to tell our listeners that I have 23 packets.
I just said the wrong thing by accident. Go ahead and tell me.
I just told our listeners in a very private way. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a few.
What about your garden? I think I have more than you.
Probably. So you want to know what happened in my garden?
I do.
Not very darn much. I watered everything, realized one of my houseplants died, took cuttings from another houseplant and put them in water. That would be the Chinese money plant because, well, my other one is suffering, and so I took cuttings. I'm going to try to rehab it finally. And then, let's see, I'm enjoying my amaryllis blooms, which are now blooming like crazy. And you know what? My paper whites never bloomed. Not a single paper white bloomed. They all started off slow. And I have one that's sitting on the table that's just a bunch of leaves. I'm really disappointed in them this year, and I don't know I don't know why. This is really part of my garden commission. I actually put it in the wrong spot, but I'll put that down below. That's all that's going. I'm just keeping everything alive, just keeping everything watered. I'm going to eat some microgreens tomorrow. That's all.
But that back to that Chinese money plant, you don't like the Chinese money plant, do you?
I like it when it's young. I don't like it when it gets leggy and weird looking, and then I ignore it, which is not very nice. So I'm going to make it young again.
There you go. There you go. Make it young again. That's what we're all trying to do these days. Make ourselves young again. All right. I'm going to do a quote to head us into the flower topic.
Okay.
The birds, they sang at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Leonard Cohen.
Did you know I love Leonard Cohen?
Like, I did not, when I chose that quote, know that.
Oh, I love Leonard Cohen. I love his Hallelujah. And I have a bunch of his quotes at my in my house. So I like Leonard Cohen a lot. We're going to talk this week about flowers. We're going to discuss winter sowing. So last week we talked about sowing seeds indoors. And then the week before that we talked about seeds. And so this week is winter sowing. And so you did most of the work on this, although you and I have both winter sowed in the past. There are certain seeds that do better winter sowing. Although I have one friend who doesn't have any place to do indoor sowing. And so she does all of her seeds winter sown, even her tomatoes.
That probably works in a warmer climate.
Not where you live.
No, that would not work here. And so I did find some great information from Penn State Extension. And their recommendation is it's ideal for some annuals, not all annuals, mm-hmm. perennials and wildflowers. And if you see words like reseeds, colonizes, self-sows, hardy seeds, seedlings that can withstand frost, that's key, mm-hmm. Then you can do this winter sowing. And most people do it in early spring, late winter, early spring. Mm-hmm. And we should clarify for people that winter sowing means you actually sow the seeds outside.
Yeah, they're outside, and a lot of times they're in milk jugs.
Yes. And we're going to provide some links later on to a friend of ours, Susan Mulvihill, up in Washington. Mm-hmm. She does a ton of winter sowing, and she's got some videos, and she shows how you cut the jug to sort of like be able to open it up. You fill it with soil, sow the seeds, and then you put it back and you tape it shut. You leave the lid off.
Yeah, the lid has
so that water and stuff can get in there. And then you usually just use a marker and write on there what it is, and you set it outside.
And you also need it off because that's how moisture gets out. You know, yes. You're making a terrarium. You're making an open top terrarium, just not very open. It's just got the lid opening, and it creates kind of a greenhouse effect slightly.
Yes.
So it works really well.
It does. And so again, the best time is generally December to March, depending on the seed and how long it takes to germinate. And actually, your poppy seeds could be winter sown, except then they don't really like to be transplanted very well. That's the other thing. If the seed likes to be transplanted, it's good for winter sowing.
Yeah, it would be good for echinacea, for example. If you wanted to grow Cheyenne Spirit echinacea and have all those little seedlings, this would be a good way to do it. It's good for a lot of wildflowers. But if you're going to do tender stuff, you want to wait until March or April, and then your plants will be behind everyone else's. Because I know when my friend Karen does it, she'll sometimes give me a tomato plant, and hers are a lot smaller than mine that have been sown indoors in the greenhouse, which I also consider indoor sowing. But you know what? They catch up. They catch up fast. So that's another way to do it too. And so the next thing we were going to talk about, I think, is the benefits. So do you want to talk about the benefits?
Well, somebody might ask, reasonably so, why do you put them in these containers? Why don't you just sow them out in the garden where you want them to grow? And the answer is they're kind of protected in these containers.
Right.
There's a lot that can happen in the wintertime. Floods, animals, birds, downpours, critters, desiccation, rot in the soil. Those are some of the things at Penn State. It just sounds like there is any wonder that any seed ever germinates in the actual ground. Thank God for gardeners putting seeds in milk jugs, or what would happen?
That's funny. Although, you know, we're kind of making fun of that just slightly, but that's why I'm doing my zinnia seeds indoors this year, is because of downpours. Because the last 3 years in Oklahoma, we've had torrential downpours in spring, and it's just washed all my seeds down the hill. And then I had to replant and replant. So I'm going to do something different this year.
That's right. And the containerized seedlings will stay a little bit more compact. And because you've been sowing them outside, the other good thing is they don't need to be hardened off. So all of these seeds with proper cold treatment, you could sow them in flats indoors, but then you can't just throw them outside without putting their little coats on them and hardening them off a little bit.
Putting their little coats on them. Yeah, and we can talk about hardening off another day since we're talking about winter sowing today. I will say that when I sow stuff in the greenhouse, it does not have to be hardened off. I can plant it directly in the garden. But when I do stuff downstairs, they don't get enough, they don't get quite as much light, and they would shrivel up and die very quickly.
That is true. And so the other thing that's nice about winter sowing, like you said, your friend has no indoor space to sow seeds. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a garden, you have the outdoor space. And so people, they set them up on their patios and picnic tables and just let them go.
Yeah. So I liked what you said. Now grab your gallon milk jugs.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem for me. I don't necessarily buy things in gallon milk jugs. So I would have to reach out to some nieces and nephews and ask them if they would say, I'm sure they're going through gallons of milk.
Yeah, we don't go through gallons of milk here either. But you know what? Sometimes what you could do is buy spring water. And then use the spring water either in your coffee machine or something else. And you could use spring water. You could also, orchids like to be watered with spring water, as does most. I mean, if you want to water your houseplants, I'm just trying to help you get jugs. That's another way to get jugs. It's a little expensive, but you know, it's a good way to do it.
It is. And so we did mention Susan Mulvihill in Washington State does a ton. We'll link to her website. And we've talked about her before because she wrote two books, The Vegetable Garden Pest Handbook, Identify and Solve Common Pest Problems on Edible Plants with All Natural Solutions. And then we have a new book. We're not ready to review it yet, but in a few weeks we will. And that's The Vegetable Garden Problem Solver Handbook, Identify and Manage Diseases and Other Common Problems on Edible Plants. So we'll link to all that and to her website and also to Penn State. Because winter sowing, it's worth trying, just even if you have a couple of jugs, just to show that you can do it.
It's just another fun thing to do when you're bored. And one more thing I want to say about Oklahoma. You may have to untape that and water it occasionally. It depends on what kind of weather we get. If it's super dry and we don't get any water, just check them. That's all. Although we're about to get a big giant snowfall, according to the news, so that you would not have to worry right now. So,
same here. You would want to check them, and if they looked like they were dry, I wouldn't untape them. I just dribble some water down in it.
You could do that. Yeah, you could. Let my words, like vegetables, be tender and sweet, for tomorrow I may have to eat them. That's by an unknown author, but should be like on my mirror.
I love that quote.
I do too.
I just cracked up when I saw that. I thought, oh, we're putting that on for the vegetable topic. That's the quote. That's the quote.
Yeah. I love a good, sweet, tender vegetable. I bought some green beans that were organic, and they were from Earthbound Farm, you know, and I found them at our local store. Those were the best green beans I've had since last summer.
Really?
They were so tender. I swear they had just harvested them and put them in that bag because they were that good.
I buy fresh green beans at Costco sometimes. I'd say they're okay. They're coming up from Guatemala or someplace like that. And, you know, they're organic. They're okay. They're not like homegrown.
I bought some at Sam's today. They're going to just be okay, too. Those last night were perfection. And, you know, I could tell they were perfection because they were bright green in that package. And so I snatched them up. All right. So on to vegetables. What to direct sow and why direct sow? Because we got another email this week, and I can't remember her name right off the top of my head. But she asked me, no, it wasn't an email. That's why I can't remember. It was actually on Instagram. She said, are you guys ever going to talk about direct sowing? And I said, or I think she said planting seeds outside, which is what direct sowing means.
That is correct.
I said, sure, we'll talk about it next week, because this is the very seedy edition. I would say January is the seedy edition of the Garden Angelus, wouldn't you?
That, yeah, everything goes to seed in January. So you would want to direct sow vegetables that don't transplant well, and so you want to just plant them where you're going to grow them. And I would say root crops, for example, like turnips, radishes, carrots, just plant them where you're going to grow them. Beets, all the above. Sweet corn, I think you should plant that where you're going to grow it. Although yep. I've seen sweet corn seedlings for sale, and I just laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yeah, because if it's warm, if your soil is warm, your seed is going to come up just fine. And when it'll come up as fast as you can transplant those transplants.
Yes. And so let's talk about soil temperature, because when you're direct sowing in the garden,
It's
the soil temperature that matters. So, and I always tell people, peas, as soon as the soil temperature is 40 degrees or warmer, peas can be sown.
Mm-hmm. Which for me here is almost always the last week of February.
And for me, it's March 17th, give or take.
Because we've done this forever, so we kind of know exactly when it is. And so for warm vegetables, you want, what is the temperature of the soil should be for corn and green beans? Do you know?
I don't know the exact temperature, but I know that I am in no big rush to plant the corn.
Yeah.
So I plant corn here around mid-May, almost to Memorial Day. No rush.
I plant it mid-May too, because the thing is you want it to be nice and warm, because if it's not nice and warm for corn or green beans, they will rot in the soil. Has been my experience.
That's true of any seed. If it doesn't like the temperature, it just goes like, oh, I'm not germinating here. No.
Yeah, so they seem unhappy, and we don't want them to be unhappy. Kale is another thing that can be direct sown in the cold temperatures. So I just can't get this out of my mind. Do you remember the little Miracle-Gro pods that came out a few years ago?
Oh, my gosh, I do.
Okay, we're just going to trash them for a minute. They were little Miracle-Gro pods that you could plant instead of just planting the seed. And we were like, don't do that. Don't pay that kind of money. Just buy some seed. So I always think of those when I think of cucumbers and squash, because those were some of them.
Yes. And you can buy cucumber and squash seedlings. And I actually tried some cucumber seedlings from the local greenhouse last year, and they did really well.
Yep.
But it is also very easy to put those in the ground. And they will just pop up quick as can be. But I want to back up to peas and green beans, because you had somebody ask if we inoculate our seeds for peas and green beans. And that's where you get this like bacteria stuff that they have a symbiotic relationship with, that helps them fix the nitrogen in the soil. I hope I got that right. And the answer
definitely
is,
helps them do something.
It helps them with the nodule things that fix nitrogen. The answer is we don't. inoculate.
I did that when it first came out that you should do that. I did it. And you know what? I couldn't tell any difference in my crop yield. I couldn't tell any difference in how fast the seeds took off. I couldn't tell any difference. And so I say, anything that I can't tell any difference, I'm not going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do extra work or buy something extra that you don't really need.
Right. So we suggest, if you want to buy it, knock yourself out. Let us know if it made your crops better. I did not notice it did. Also, I want to talk a bit about cucumbers and squashes and hilling. You know, hilling the soil?
Yes.
You don't have to hill the soil. I was taught to hill the soil, and the whole reason behind hilling the soil is two things. One, to warm up the soil even more. That's the
yes.
only one reason you do it. And the other reason you do it is because it gets excellent drainage. If you want to hill up the soil, I still do it that way for both cucumbers and squash, and it does help them. And then when you grow corn, you wait until it comes up, and then you hill up soil around corn. And why do you do that, Carol? Why do you
to better support the roots, because the roots will be sitting up on top of the soil. So it just better supports them.
Right. So it's a shallow rooted grass. That's what corn is. And so it grows big and tall, usually, if you're having a good year, and you don't want it to fall over in the wind. So
with my squash, I make that little hill hill too, just because that's the way we always did it.
Me too.
And then I take my hand down and I make five little indentions with my five at once. Then I put the five in there, and then I usually reduce it down to two.
Yeah, and I reduce it down to three. So, and both of those work just fine. People are going to ask us about squash bugs. We aren't talking about squash specifically. They're a pain. There is no miracle to squash bugs in Oklahoma. I get asked this question more than anything else. You can use diatomaceous earth when they are infants. You need to scrape off the eggs before they become infants. You need to catch every bug having sex, which you'll see them. And the best way to catch them, I think, is to lay down a piece of board, like a 2x4, but a short piece, because it's easier to turn over. And you turn them over early in the morning, and there they are, procreating. And so you want to catch them early, and you want to get them in soapy water. You can also, one person asked me about using 7 or 8. It's not organic. Yes, it somewhat works, but it'll also kill your bees. And if you use diatomaceous earth, which is organic, it's just a drying agent. You got to keep that off of your bees too. So, you know, I think growing squash in Oklahoma is complicated, but if you want to try it, you can also cover the plants.
Which you had great success with a few summers ago.
With the Vegapod, which I still have. And I found my clips the other day, some more clips. I think the Vegapod is a really easy way to grow it, if you want to grow it. I get it in a CSA because I got tired of messing with it. Okay, what else did we want to say? Oh, we want to talk about, you were going to say you can direct sow or sow indoors the following plants.
Well, lettuce, spinach, and kale. Some people will. The only reason I can think you would sow it indoors is if you want to prick out little seedlings to have perfect little rows.
That's exactly why. Or perfect little squares. Or you're doing square foot gardening. You know, if you want to do square foot gardening, you might do it for that reason too. But you can also just plant it and then, you know, reduce them to the number you want in that square. But a lot of people want that perfect little potager look. And if you want that perfect little potager look, that's the easiest way to get it. Or you can do like I do sometimes. I direct sow all that stuff and then I just move it where I want it.
That's a good idea. And remember what Hal Borland said. His wife's success with moving lettuce was to do it in the rain.
Well, I think that's a brilliant idea. Or do it really early in the morning and water, because you really need to water the heck out of it. Anything you move, even if it's early in the year, you've really got to water it because it'll dry out fast. They're baby plants.
Yes. So a few other tips is, of course, you want to remove all the weeds and make sure you lightly cultivate the ground. You don't want to pulverize it, but you don't want big clumps.
Right.
And then you sow your seeds, mark your rows or mark your hill because you think, it's this squash, and then you won't remember that.
No,
so you
won't. Or lettuce.
Keep everything watered. And then I want to tell you, speaking of things in nice, neat rows, I bought these goofy plant plastic strips, and they're about 2 feet long, and there's like three or four of them, and they have holes. So there's one for spacing green beans and one that's good for like radishes and lettuce. One that's for, I don't know. They just look fun. And so I bought them because I buy too many gardening tools. And I thought, I'm going to try those. I still have them, but I never think to use them. And I was going to give our listeners a link, but I couldn't find it.
There you go. Those apparently weren't that popular if you can't find the link anymore. And then,
I don't know why not. You can make, never mind.
People make them with boards too. You know,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. You could, you could take a board and notch it or just mark on there the inches or that's called a yardstick.
It's called a yardstick. But they have little indentations in the board. And then that way you can put the little seed in the spot. But you know what? Or you can just be like me. And sow it and thin it and quit worrying about it.
That's what I actually do.
So we already talked about temperature of the soil, but we should also talk about the fact that you usually plant most vegetable seeds, not all flower seeds, because sometimes flowers have to have sun on them to germinate. Like, I think poppies are like that. But don't quote me because I could be wrong. I haven't looked at the packet yet. Anyway, a lot of vegetable seeds, you want to bury them at twice the depth of the seed. So smaller seed, barely cover. And then watch for the crows, because the crows will eat some of your seedlings, because that's what they do. I have a whole crow family. I have a multi-generational family who I love.
Well, that,
but
it was either crows or squirrels who ate all my sunflowers. And I'm like, they're not doing that again.
Yeah, you might have to cover them from the crows. The crows also like to take my white labels, my markers, and pull them out of the soil for me. I have no idea why. Maybe they think it's a sunflower seed. Who knows? So you're gonna plan to thin them, and you're gonna thin them to whatever the seed packet tells you. So, and that's okay. So I think you can kind of riff on that a little bit, because like lettuce, you might thin it to a certain amount first, and then eat some of them as little ones.
Yes, absolutely.
And then go back and thin them to where they make full-size lettuces, assuming it doesn't get too hot in the spring before they do that. So what else you want to say about it?
I think that's enough sowing. If anybody has any other questions, they can email us, and we'll do our best to answer it on a future episode.
Oh, and we should say, and you wrote this down, zinnias, sunflowers, and marigolds are three annuals that are easy to grow by direct seeding. Unless you get torrential rain, and then it washes everything away. I always start my marigolds indoors now, because I also like to put them in my pots that have my tomatoes. To look pretty in there. And this is the part where someone will ask us about companion planting and whether marigolds actually help tomatoes. Do you want to answer that one?
I don't think they make a difference at all. But
they
go ahead.
Don't. There was a study that was done not too long ago, and it showed that the really stinky marigolds might keep away certain white flies or something. But here's the thing. Marigolds sometimes get what are the little sucking bugs that I can't think of the name of them right now? Spider mites. So you need to drench those with water when they get spider mites.
Yes.
That's all I got.
That's all I got. I'm going to give us a quote, and we're going to go onto the bookshelf and completely change topics. Words are like food to our hearts, minds, and souls. They have the potential to shape destinies, inspire courage, and install character. Sally Clarkson.
So can I say quickly who Sally Clarkson is?
Yes, you can, because I have no idea.
I got this book. I got this quote out of Victoria or off of Instagram. I don't remember which. And I started following Sally Clarkson. She and her daughter are the writers in residence for Victoria magazine this year. And they both are on Instagram, and she's just got some lovely, inspiring thoughts about life and everything. So I just follow her, and I think she's a very interesting person. And she also has, I think, a new book out. She does have a book. I don't know if it's brand new, though.
Well, I will go to Instagram. I will look for her, and I will put a link in the show notes in case anybody else wants to follow her.
Okay, and now the bookshelf. I did not get this book, and I'm glad you read it. No, it didn't show up yet, which I just now got the one we reviewed 2 weeks ago. I don't know why I'm so far behind, but...
Well, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but it's called Secret Gardens of the Southeast, a private tour. It's by Barbara Siegel, who we both know from GardenCom, and we found out she wrote this book. And there are several Secret Garden books. They're all England. They're all about gardens in England, and there's several of them, and I meant to get all the titles, but I failed to do so.
That's okay. But I can tell you some of them right now. You want to hear them?
Well, there's Secret Gardens of London.
Yes, and there's Secret Gardens of the Cotswolds, and those were both written by our friend Victoria.
Yes.
And then there's Secret Gardens of East Anglia.
Yes.
And now I think there's this one. So there may be one I'm missing, but we will link to all of them in our show notes or in our newsletter. So tell us about this one.
So Barbara traveled to the private gardens in the counties of Kent, Surrey, and Sussex.
Never been there.
And never been there either. So here's from her intro, why you would want to think about going there. The Southeast has traditionally been the place where Londoners holidayed. Think of bathing huts and naughty postcards.
That's so Barbara.
It is also an area where many grand houses were built with palatial gardens established around them. And so I would say looking through this book is like looking at someone's photo album, but it's better because she tells great stories about each of the gardens. And I love that for every garden, she also includes pictures of the owners and the caretakers. Because here's my famous quote that I'm going to make. Gardens aren't gardens without people tending them.
That's the truth. And gardens always reflect their owners and their caretakers, and whatever they're interested in. So that garden is going to look like the people who tend it. And let me just say about Barbara, one of the funniest, most self-effacing people I've ever met. And just sweet, 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 and smart.
She is. And she has a Substack newsletter. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I started following it. She's fallen down a rabbit hole of snowdrops because it is snowdrop season in England.
The galanthophiles rejoice.
And so she listed a whole bunch that she ended up buying and then some that she's still looking for. But I'm impressed, you know, because her and her photographer, they actually visited these. They talked to the gardeners. They took some amazing pictures. And you got to love the different names of some of these gardens in England. They all have...
They do.
Extremely, extremely interesting names like Doddington Place, Long Barn, Moles Hill House. So it's cool. They're interesting.
I'll have to go there next. Although I really want to go to Northern England, but I'm not going to England this year. So
that's Secret Gardens of the Southeast, a private tour. Barbara Segal, and it is a very, very good. It's a coffee table book, and if you're interested in that area, and I am, it's one that you ought to think about getting.
Yeah, and I think if you're planning a trip to England and it's a gardening trip, don't forget that they have the National Gardening Scheme, where you can get into a lot of gardens, and it benefits their hospital organizations and their healthcare system. And one place to start is to look at these books on any section you want to go visit. So I have kept all of these books, partly because I'm friends with the people who wrote all of them, really good friends with some of them. And so but they're beautiful. And if it's winter and snowy, it's a good time to look at them. So I'm going to do a quote, and then we're going to talk about our dirt, which is very interesting.
Yes, we have two pieces of dirt. Hit that quote.
The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small piece of land. Abraham Lincoln.
You know, and that's one of those, I don't know if Abraham Lincoln actually said that, but it is an interesting quote nonetheless.
If he did say it, which he was fascinated with all things gardening and farming, if he did say it, it wouldn't surprise me, but it's so true now.
Yes. You know?
So, I don't know. According to this, it says that a lot of people say he said it, but you know how that can be. It could be wrong. All right, so we're going to talk about our two pieces of dirt. You do the first one.
So the first one, actually, I have both of them. So we found out via emails and Instagram that a company called Epic Gardening bought Botanical Interest Seeds. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know a lot. We know that they are very into gardening, and the Botanical Interest name is staying. And I think this just means more great things coming from this wonderful seed company out in Colorado.
Yeah, Epic Gardening is a guy who he really became famous on YouTube. And he has a whole channel that is just devoted to gardening. So he definitely knows his stuff. And I mean, I say that. I haven't watched any of his videos, but he's very popular.
Very popular. He has millions of subscribers. We should have been YouTube stars.
Way back when everybody first started. We might have actually made some money off of it. And then the second thing I thought was really interesting, and we're actually going to have an affiliate link. And I really think I need these sleeves.
Dee, you need these sleeves. And I'm going to hold it up because you can't really see it. I don't know.
Yeah, because we're having to do this on our cell phones. Long story, everyone. They're called Farmer's Defense And they have sleeves and more. They have more than just sleeves, but you think I need the sleeves and I do too.
Okay, so the sleeves are, they're very silky feeling, and they're made out of recycled plastic from, I got a little tag around here somewhere. So recycled plastic bottles. And the idea is you wear these sleeves like in the summertime when it's hot, and you don't really get hot, but it protects you from the sun, from sap, from plants, from thorns. Mm-hmm. So I bought a pair because actually a friend of mine in garden club, she goes on very long bike rides. I mean, like she flew out to Utah and went on a week-long bike ride. And she wore these the whole time and brought them to garden club and said, you guys all need to get these. And so I got a pair right as fall and winter when I was going to be wearing long sleeves anyway. So I am anxious to get started using these. I think you would love them in Oklahoma.
Well, I think we would love them because of sun, because of skin cancer. And this is our service announcement, our PSA. Go get yourself checked out for skin cancer if you're a gardener, because I've had two precancerous deals taken off my face, and that's in spite of wearing sunscreen, and I now wear a hat, and these would be good for your arms, and it would make your skin cancer doctor very happy. And I actually went back this time and I don't have anything on my face this year.
That's good. So yes. They have little thumb holes at the bottom to hold them in place.
On. Yeah.
And they, speaking of hats, they also sell hats. And I'm probably going to buy a hat because they're very cute. They're like straw, but they have flowers on the underside.
Cute.
And they also sell aprons.
That's cool. And I like that they make it out of plastic bottles. In fact, it was just your birthday last weekend. Everybody
it
told
was.
Carol, happy birthday.
And thank you.
You're welcome. And I sent you something, and it is also made out of plastic bottles.
I can hardly wait. Is it a craft you made out of plastic bottles? Or
no, it's not a craft. I don't do crafts. Are you kidding? No way. So there, those are our two pieces of dirt.
Anyway, we do have a new affiliate link for Farmers Defense. We will include it in the show notes and in the newsletter. So I'm going to do a quote and we're going to go down rabbit holes. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. C.S. Lewis.
And that's to take us down our rabbit holes. And so I have two rabbit holes, I think. I just thought of one and then it kind of went away. So we'll see if it happens again. Oh, it was my puzzle. I did a new puzzle and it's of a walled garden. And I took pictures of it and put it on my stories on Instagram. And several people have asked me where I got my puzzle. And that brings us to our Minute with Masha. Would you like for me to do it?
I would like to hear the Minute with Masha. I think I already know what it was because I warned you. I warned you.
So Masha loves puzzle pieces, and Masha is now a toddler. And I read this morning because my friend Amy asked me, she goes, when will Masha be a grown-up cat? And I said, I don't know. And I looked it up, and they don't reach full adulthood until 4 years, this particular breed. And I was like, oh, Lord, help me. But right now she is sitting right behind me on the chair being very good and calm, which I appreciate. And in connection with that, I got the puzzle almost finished, and then I was missing two pieces. And one piece I realized I was missing early because it was the cat. There's a little cat in this puzzle. It's a walled garden with a cat. And
right.
I found it chewed slightly on the floor, and I thought, how ironic that she picked the cat to chew, right?
Not ironic. She's a smart kitty.
She's a weirdly smart kitty. By the way, she's caught 3 mice. Go, Masha.
Good for her.
So it makes up for the fact that she broke an antique hyacinth vase yesterday and chewed another puzzle piece. Nothing so damaging on the puzzle that I couldn't fix it. But the hyacinth vase, which was one of my really expensive ones, she got all startled. And so she went flying, and so did the vase, and so did all the stuff in my desk drawer. And it was just a big, huge mess. So she was in the cat house, dog house. For the afternoon. Anyway, that's my Minute with Masha. And the other thing I'm doing is I have really been down a seedy rabbit hole because I'm thinking about what to plant when, and I may have to actually make a chart. Oh, I hate charts.
You're making a chart and you're making fun of my spreadsheet?
I didn't say I was making a chart. I might have to. And then you have two spreadsheets, not just one. And then, let's see, I'm trying not to spend so much money on transplants, so I'm doing a lot more seeds this year. So that's why I have so many in my head, and there's a lot. And I'm also looking at pergolas for my back deck. Is that garden-related?
That is, because that will allow you to sit out more in the summertime, because that would provide some shade.
It would help, because it's really hot out there, even though it's morning sun. I found one at Sam's. I'll think about it. All right, what are you doing in your, what is your rabbit hole?
So my rabbit hole is I'm minding my own business. I went to an antique mall on Saturday because it's good to see things older than you when you have a birthday. Sorry, you were drinking. And there is a book called, I forget the name of the book, Complete Book of Bulbs or something like, yeah. The Wonderful World of Bulbs. It's called The Wonderful World of Bulbs by B.B. Miles. And I thought, B.B. Miles? I don't know a B.B. Miles. So
how is that possible?
How is that possible that I have found a lost lady of garden writing at the antique mall? And I did. So I went down a rabbit hole and I found her, sorta. I wrote a blog post. We'll link to it. Of course, while I was down there, I found another month-by-month book written by somebody named Des Kennedy, who's still alive and up there in one of the islands off the coast of British Columbia. And he actually had two books, but I think it's the same book, but it just had maybe two different publishers. I'm not really quite sure. So the good news is, while I was scanning my bookshelves looking for B.B. Miles, because I'm thinking, maybe I got her, I found a pamphlet for you. I'll call it a pamphlet, a booklet.
Scented Pelargoniums.
Yes, thanks. By Adelma, what was her name? Oh, I should have brought the booklet in here.
I can look it up real quick if I get
Caprylands, the Caprylands, Adelma Grenier Simmons of Caprylands.
Yes.
And this book is, it's a hand-drawn cover and it's 44 pages and you can tell somebody typed it on a typewriter and wrote little, anyway.
It's kind of adorable because it's kind of adorable cover and it says Breath of the Past, the little book of scented geraniums.
And I sent a picture to you, Dee, and I said, hey, I found something I think you would like. Would you like this? And you're like, yes, I would. And then I didn't even tell you. It's signed.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did. Oh, no, you showed it to me after you said that. That's right. It is signed by her. I'm kind of excited to read it because I could always learn more about scented geraniums. I don't know that much.
Yeah, it doesn't have a date on it or anything, and somebody put their name in the cover. But otherwise, I will be shipping that in the mail to you. But anyway, B.B. Miles, I found her. She is kind of interesting. Led me to some more of those month-by-month books, which at this point, I'm taking any suggestions on those, and I'm just putting them on yet another spreadsheet and keeping track of them. But I'm not like, oh, I'm going to go buy that one. Oh, I'm going to go buy that one. I've contained myself, actually, because I actually ordered two books by B.B. Miles. So anyway, Lost Lady of Garden Writing.
Go you. I thought that post was really interesting because she was a little hard to find because B.B. is her nickname.
B.B. is not her name. Her real name was Louise, but I don't think that anybody called her Louise and got away with it. She was B.B. in college, B.B. on her books.
And she was an Alpha Chi, which is what all of my sisters-in-law are. They're all Alpha Chis.
Alpha Chi Omega?
Mm-hmm. Alpha Chi Omega. I was not a sorority girl. I bet that
was
not
either.
You.
No, but nobody's surprised by that, do you? We're in our own sorority. We'll have to give it its own Greek letters.
There you go. Shall we go on to garden commissions?
Yes. What's yours?
So I'm going to sow those poppy seeds and perhaps the sweet peas. And I will direct sow both of those. And my plan is to wait until it snows tomorrow. And the next day, when it starts to warm back up, this is one of those snows. You know, when it starts to warm back up, I'm going to toss the poppy seeds out on top of the snow. I'm going to do the same thing for my larkspur seeds because, for me personally, that is the best way I've ever gotten any of them to germinate. And just so people know, all of my larkspur that I threw down after they bloomed last summer, they're all coming up. But I'm going to add a few more in there because I love that blue and That's really one of the best ways to get that shade of blue in my garden. And then the sweet peas, I'm still trying to time that just right, so I might actually wait a couple more days. What are you doing?
So now that I have spreadsheets of my newly purchased seeds, I'm finally going to go through all my old seeds and toss what I don't plan to sow, unless I think it's something somebody wants. Then who knows, maybe I'll say on the podcast, who wants these seeds? So, and then I'm going to come up with my plan for indoor sowing because I have a lot. I'm going to harvest microgreens, sow some more. And my sister has reached out and said, could you help me repot a couple of houseplants? Because naturally she can't do it. I have to do it.
I'm not going into that. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I have to send you tomato seeds. That's the other thing. So, and I got my little seed packets. There was a tomato of mine, the black strawberry. You wanted to
Yes.
try it.
Yes.
So right now, Masha is getting ready to attack the phone. See her little face?
I see her face.
Attack your face.
I see her face.
So
I'm
you
going
may fall
to
at any moment.
I'm going to wrap this up then and tell everybody thank you for listening to The Garden Angelist. I hope you've hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. We publish every week on Wednesdays at 12 a.m. Eastern.
If you listen to Apple Podcasts, we'd love a 5-star review. Thank you to the person who just did one. I really appreciate it. That helps us get noticed by others. Could you also share our podcast with your friends? Word of mouth is still the best way to get the word out there.
And be sure and check out our show notes for links for more information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites.
And if you want to have all the information in writing that we've talked about on here today, subscribe to our Substack newsletter, thegardenangelist@substack.com, also linked to in our show notes.
And if you want to help support us, use those affiliate links. If you buy something after clicking through on them, we earn a small commission and it costs you nothing.
You can also now support us by clicking on the heart in either the Substack newsletter or I think there's also a link on Buzzsprout. It was lovely to chat with all of you over the garden gate. Bye until next week.
Bye, everybody.